You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Back, folks, to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Breaking news out of France. We've got a terrorist attack in Nice, south of France. At least 73 people are dead and 150 have been injured in their Bastille Day attack in the south of France. Now, eyewitness, folks, you're going to get multiple stories here. We've got conflicting stories. Different Twitter feeds open, and different we're monitoring different news sites all at the same time, and there are different versions of the same story. But eyewitnesses have reported a gunfight between police responding to the attack and suspects, plural, at the scene. Gunmen are believed to have taken hostages in two hotels and a restaurant in the city. This, according to witnesses only, but being denied by the police. Thousands of people were in the city watching Bastille Day fireworks when the attack began. Obama condemned the massacre, describing it as, and I quote, what appears to be a horrific terrorist attack. Okay. Of course, it's not Muslim terrorist attack, but terrorist attack. So keep that in mind. Before we get back to the programming, I'm very proud to talk about our sponsor, Casper Mattress, casper.com/CFP radio. You know, Casper is the best mattress I have ever used in my life. Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress that's sold directly to you and I, sold directly to the consumers, folks. It eliminates the commission-driven inflated prices of the middleman, the showrooms. You don't have to go to the showroom and lay in the bed for 2 minutes and try to decide whether that bed's good for you. Not anymore, folks. They're the award-winning sleep surface. And this is just it's hard to describe how great this is without seemingly like overselling it. But to me, this provides the right balance and the right support for my back problems. And I've got a lot of back problems. My wife has back problems, arthritis as well. But we really love this mattress. You know, its award-winning sleep surface was developed in-house. It's got a very sleek design, and it's delivered in a small, how did they do that, size box. It's really neat. I mean, the box, it's dense, but it's manageable, and you take it to your bedroom and you open it up. They give you a tool inside, and it's really a lot of fun to install on the bed. But the mattress industry, folks, you know, they've forced consumers into paying very notoriously high markups. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly onto you and I. An in-house team of engineers, they spent thousands of hours developing the Casper. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foam for a sleep surface that's got just the right sink. Just the right bounce. Plus, its breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature throughout the night. It really does. My dog, Lady, the studio dog, loves to sleep on the Casper mattress. Not too hot, not too cold, just right. Now, mattresses can often cost well over $1,500, but Casper mattresses, well, $500 for a twin size, $850 for a queen, $950 for a king. Doggone good prices, I must say. And buying a Casper mattress is completely risk-free. Casper offers free delivery, free returns with a 100-night home trial. Think about that. 100 nights in your house. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. Casper understands the importance of truly sleeping on the mattress before you commit, especially considering you're going to spend, what, a 30-year life on it? The Casper. It's an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right bounce, just the right sink, just the right everything. Time Magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. In fact, it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade. Free shipping and returns to U.S. and Canada. And folks, try Casper for 100 nights risk-free in your own home. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. And you know what? It's made in America. It's made in America. Casper.com/CFP radio. In case you're wondering, that the initials, Canada Free Press. That's Casper.com/CFP radio. Casper.com/CFP radio. Go to HagmanandHagman.com. Click on the link there. And that'll take you directly to Casper.com/CFP radio. And just for you guys listening to this program, you can get $50 toward any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/CFP radio. Now, terms and conditions do apply. So, but I will say, it's the best sleep I've had ever on any mattress. I don't even like to go to hotels anymore. Even the nice hotels, the Casper mattresses are that great. Casper.com/CFP radio. And of course, our promo code at checkout is CFP radio. That's Casper.com/CFP radio. Our promo code is CFP radio. You must include that. And that way we get credit and smiles and attaboys and all kinds of stuff for it. Try it. You'll thank me later. Now, getting back, Joe, to what's going on in France, and then we're going to get back to what's taking place here in the United States. A developing story in France. Folks, this is being denied by two out of four, 50% of the, it appears that there may be multiple gunmen. Right now we have a Twitter feed saying that gunmen have taken hostages in two different hotels and a restaurant, yet we've got police officials saying there's only one offender, that was the driver of the truck, and he has been neutralized, in their words. You've got horrifying,
he's
horrible pictures.
Along with a gunman.
Well, you know,
what reports I've read.
Yeah, none of these reports initially are accurate. You know, it's hard to get the degree of accuracy. But here is the takeaway from all of this. Well, and for those of us who are geographically challenged, if you look at France, Nice is really at the southern portion, and most of Nice is on the water. When I'm saying that, it's all coastal area. The attack took place between the Nice Côte d'Azur International Airport and Saint Jean Cap Ferrat. Those two, and it would be actually southwest of the actual community of Nice, in the Promenade des Anglais, apparently, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And if I'm not, well, too bad. Interior Ministry spokesman, one of the spokesmen there, gave an update saying that there is no hostage taken. Just as simply an individual drove a truck into the crowd. By the way, that individual driving that truck into the crowd dragged people for over a mile,
yep,
in some cases. Think about that, at 40 miles an hour roughly, and there's just heartbreaking pictures of women and children with dolls and
covered in the...
You know, Joe, and this is coming to the United States for those of you disbelievers. This is coming to the United States. I mean, it's already been here through 9/11. It's already been here in other situations. But, folks, it's going to get worse, and it's going to get personal. And one thing I'm so concerned about, Joe, and maybe you can talk about this, because we've been talking about the political ramifications with the police and the everything that's taking place with Black Lives Matter and the civil war that's coming up. My source had told me, and I remember this when we were in Washington, D.C., I remember this, said, look, you are going to see people die in the street. You're going to see people that will be shot. Neighbors against neighbors. It will be so, and this to the delight, the intent, maybe not the delight. I mean, maybe the delight. That was not the word he used, but the intent of this particular regime in charge. Folks, right now we need, and Joe, I believe this to be true right now with the conventions coming up. I believe this is the most dangerous time in American history in recent memory. I'll say since, Cuban Missile Crisis.
Okay.
I mean, in my lifetime, if we lose control at the conventions or even around the time of the conventions that lead us into, dare I say, a martial law situation or a police action situation, I don't know if we can come back from that. Judy McLeod, you weren't here yesterday, Joe. News to you, right?
News to me.
I had spoke about something, and I'm going to hand you this. You have not seen this. We did not talk about this at all. Judy McLeod from Canada Free Press wrote an article titled, Obama Will Only Impose Martial Law If It Looks Like Trump Will Win. And you can go to canadafreepress.com and read that. Now, what she said was this. We shouldn't hold our breath waiting for Obama to declare martial law and suspend elections if it looks like Hillary's going to get in. But if it looks like Trump is going to take it, all bets are off. Basically, that's what she's saying. I'm paraphrasing here. It's a great article. It was published yesterday. But she wrote that government of the day, this regime, continues to stoke the fires of racial division even after the deaths of five police officers in Dallas. They're pulling out all the stops, or so it seems. And you tell me if I'm wrong. And I'm going to turn this right over to you. You tell me if I'm wrong. When you've got Obama meeting for 3.5 hours, or could be as many as 4.5 or 3, depending on who you ask, again, in the White House with Black Lives Matter people. Well, what do we see? I mean,
well, think about this.
What are we seeing here?
Trump picked a vice presidential candidate.
And I asked you about
Governor from Indiana.
Yeah.
Pence is right. His candidate. He had postponed the announcement of his candidate due to the attacks in Paris. We have the Saudi 28-page 9/11 dump.
How many people have forgotten about that already?
Going to be released Friday.
Okay.
Friday. Also day of rage.
Now, What's your confidence factor on this day of rage? Because I'm
thinking about the 28 Saudi, the 28 9/11 right. Censored 9/11 commission pages that are going to be released more likely now, knowing that much, and never let a good crisis go to waste. Don't let the momentum die. Thinking from that mindset, from the evil agenda in place.
All right.
I mean. But think of the George Soros and how he's been funding these protests, how he's been funding these riots, how he's been funding this terrorist organization or terrorist elements of the Black Lives Matter organization. I mean, how much money, if he tells, you know, a few families or a few people who are willing to do things so their families have money for 5-10 years. I mean, how many times can he pay out $100,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 to a family and say, hey, you know, you take a gun, you go out in a blaze of glory, for your culture against the cops and the whites of this country, and we'll set your family
up. Do you think that, that's what's happening?
I'm saying that's a possibility. They're already at the level of paying people to come out and cause trouble, or even just to protest.
Well, they've purchased blocks of rooms.
Why not take it a step further?
Right. And folks, they have purchased blocks of rooms for the conventions. Soros is behind the money of this. You've got the guy in the White House, or guy DeRay McKesson going to the White House. He's he's not one of the three founders of Black Lives Matter. He's kind of the face of the Black Lives. He's the liaison.
And I don't want to compare Black Lives Matter to Martin Luther King and what he did for civil rights through his peaceful demonstrations. No. But how many times was his group infiltrated? How many times were his peaceful protests or sit-ins?
Now you're talking. I love it.
How many times did those take violent turns outside of his control, outside of his wishes and demands, if you're going to be a part of it, in order to cause trouble to the point where he was assassinated?
And therein lies the problem that we see on both the good and the bad sides.
Right. Because Martin Luther King was doing the right thing. There was injustice and inequality. And his answer to that was not to stab a police officer. It was not to create violence.
Right.
It was to create an awareness of the problem and to peacefully rectify the situation.
You know, but at the same time you had Martin Luther King, or right around the same time, approximately, for those sticklers of history, you also had Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Malcolm X, a whole different type of guy than Martin Luther King. Mm-hmm. Malcolm X, Nation of Islam. And we had talked about the Nation of Islam and yesterday. And we had talked about what the recruits with the Nation of Islam had done. I'd given history. And this is what I don't understand, folks. Again, I got an email, one email in particular, but a lot of them, but one in particular who, basically, you know, you racist pig, your heart is evil, because I'm promoting racism. And I had to stop and think about that for a minute. Only because, or what we do, you know, is what we're doing, is what I'm doing when we're talking about something like this. Yeah, I guess, Joe, it does stoke the embers of racism.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you not talk about something like this? For example, look, 50 years ago, Richard Speck went in. I think it's 50 years ago today. Does the name Richard Speck mean anything to anyone?
Not to me.
Okay. Mass killer, 50 years ago. The pock-faced putrid sack of pus goes into a sorority room of nurses and tortures, rapes, and murders 8 nurses. And rapes one and tortures 8 and kills them. All right. That was 50 years, I believe that was 50 years ago today. I'm going to double check here in a second. And of course, that was a horrific incident. Now, did you notice I didn't say whether that man was black or white? He was white, and he was a spree killer. I guess, you know, going back and looking back in time, and the reason I brought that up was, the difference in types of violence. But going back, how do you talk about, for example, the Nation of Islam when they specifically target whites? And if I remember correctly, the 50 years ago with Speck, I believe there was a black female that was a victim, and also I think someone from an Asian.
Is today Bible believing Christians and parents who are Christians see the removal of any Bible verse, of any reference to God or Jesus from public schools, from city hall meetings. There was somebody dragged out of a city hall meeting a few weeks ago for mentioning Jesus. We are seeing just this complete intolerance towards the Christian religion, its book, and Jesus, who is the founder of the Christian religion. Yet we are pandering to, you know, the political correctness of Islam. I read a story last week, the end of last week, where a military general was forced to retire or was fired because he refused not to refer to the enemies as radical jihadists. Did you see that?
Yes. Actually, the culture, there was more than one
right.
of the same, but go on.
The culture of political correctness that's being created is so backwards, upside down, and just completely dead wrong that somebody who brings up Jesus, a coach who prays with his football team before a game, a kid who shares a Bible with another kid in school, can be charged with a crime, expelled, you know, blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, they bring in Islamic prayers to the schools.
Okay.
They bring in...
Stop right there. Did you see that? Did you watch yesterday the ceremony for the slain police officers with Bush and
oh, were they laughing and stuff?
No. Well, yes. Bush was doing some sort of a jig for... But it was an interfaith service.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And that was one of the key
things. That's what I want to talk to you about, because
the interfaith,
not one time was the name of our Lord mentioned during that service.
Yeah, and it won't be. Right after the surgery, I think the day after or 2 days after, I was in the car with, it was the first car ride I took from coming after
ouch.
Coming home from the hospital. Yeah, ouch is right.
Ba-boom, ba-boom,
and
wow.
We went up the street not too far to a local restaurant to just get takeout breakfast. And I was listening in on the radio, and I heard, I knew something happened in Dallas.
Right.
And I found out late because of the surgery, and I was, you know, down and out for the first 48 hours. That morning.
You were gone that long?
Friday morning, I'm hearing about all this stuff in Dallas. And one of the first things I remember hearing was there will be an interfaith service for the tragedy in Dallas. So immediately when I got home, I popped the computer open. It was still in the morning. And I start going through all the video clips, or some of the video clips of what happened, reading the headlines, seeing the ambush, seeing the, I mean, and since then there's been, you know, dozens and dozens of copycat type attacks. And in Indianapolis, a few days ago, a man fired 17 shots into a patrol car.
Oh, yeah.
That was emptied. Another man in another city opened fire on a police headquarters. You had officers being ambushed in Minnesota. A protest turned violent where fireworks, Molotov cocktails, over 70 arrests were made just over this weekend. And, you know, we just see this increase of... It's like a purge. They're getting the people out there. Now, when... Eric brought up a good question maybe 3 weeks to a month ago about the EBT cards being shut off and what that would do in terms of creating civil unrest. Now, obviously,
the
violence of police against the African-American community, whether justified or not, whether it's justified or not, is irrelevant at this point.
Okay.
Because we've seen the times where it was not justified, the cops were still let go, and at times when they were justified, cops still brought up on charges and deemed not guilty. It's obvious that regardless if the police are right or wrong, the government or the powers that be are doing what they can to make an injustice turn into even more of a tragedy by letting officers who are responsible for wrongful deaths or violating procedure resulting in the death of somebody in custody, they're not being held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
That is being done intentionally to give credence to the arguments. Because when you look at the statistics, there is, first of all, far more white people that get killed by police than black people.
Well, yeah,
and secondly, black on black crime is higher than any other type of crime. So, if you look at it from a statistical standpoint, which I'm not justifying any of the police actions that were wrong.
No,
in any case,
please,
I'm just looking at the statistics here.
Because I'm getting hammered by emails saying, you're racist. We're racist for saying that.
The FBI's 2015 crime statistics, and I'm going off memory, is in gun violence between police and black people, 2% of the African Americans were killed. 4% of white Americans were killed. And I'm not sure how those figures what that exactly means. But black on black violence was the highest, black on white violence being right underneath that. Police and on white violence being underneath that. And lastly,
better.
Police on black violence was last out of those four categories. And absolutely they do. So often do we see the black on black violence being some type of gangland or, you know, reckless shooting where innocent bystanders end up being the victims more so than the targeted people who were targeted in the first place. We see on, you know, Memorial Day and July 4th in the big cities like Chicago where hundreds are shot each holiday, every holiday in these gun-free zones. The shootings aren't going to stop, these mass shootings.
Violence. Have this, Joe, interrupting. 990 people were fatally shot by police in 2015. And, 948 were shot fatally by police. And the 494 were white and 250 were black.
And there's a big problem we have in society. We have been raised by television, by Hollywood, by these big extravagant movie productions,
yep,
to the point where we can't tell what's happening in a movie or on a TV show versus what we're being shown as news in on TV in real life. Hence the crisis actors, hence the questioning of different things due to lack of evidence and inconsistencies of stories. When people question things like Sandy Hook, they don't do it out of, you know, to try to make the parents of the alleged victims feel, you know, more pain. They do it because there's a lack of evidence. There's inconsistencies in the stories. The procedures aren't followed. There are a lot of forces at work. I don't know how many people have seen the stories recently, but on Drudge, in the last few weeks, there's been a huge increase in the titles that deal with demonic possession, you know, mass possession in demonic realm, or mass demonic possession of people, exorcisms, demonic activity. We know that CERN, if people do their research on CERN, there are strange things happening in the skies above CERN. People are saying portals are being opened. There's clouds that are being taken and twisted in weird ways. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on there. But as the Bible says, in the last days, it would be like the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, there were giants, or the disembodied spirits of the fallen ones.
Two separate things, but
we're told they would return.
Yep.
Now, we know that evil is behind all the violence, all the lying, all the stealing, destruction, and corruption that we see in our world. But as crazy as it sounds, there is a, how do I want to say this? There's an agenda for the evil. It's done in a way that makes it the most effective way to change the hearts and minds of people. It's done in a way that will affect you and maybe make you change the way you believe to the point of taking actions you normally wouldn't take. Evil, and this is why the scriptures are so clear on putting on the armor of God, being in your prayer closet, staying close in the scriptures, and having the mind and heart of Christ. Otherwise, if you're outside of that box, which is Jesus and walking in his ways, you are open to millions of possibilities. To being drug into this evil mentality or led to conduct evil actions that you would not normally take. And when the Bible says, you know, you will be turned over to blindness, you will be turned over to, you know, the lust of your flesh, the lust of your mind, the lust of your imagination. We are a doom porn society. People wake up every morning and check the news. Why do you think Drudge has billions of hits? It's not to check to see if stock prices are up. It's to check to see what terrible things happened in the world yesterday. And as hard as it is to hear, you know, you have to pay attention. You have to understand what's going on in the world. but there is an expectancy of bad things to happen. We expect it because of the times we're in. We don't expect to turn on the news or look at Drudge and think and see and read about what wonderful things our politicians have done for us, or our world leaders, how they have, you know, ended poverty or cured cancer. We look at it to see how many people were killed in this terrorist attack, and the videos of, you know, the knockout game and police being shot. These things have an effect on our mind, our thought process, our brains, and our hearts. And the more we let these things slip in and become desensitized to it, the easier it will be for the evil to take over our mind in subtle ways that we won't even notice. But every decision we make leads to consequences, unforeseen consequences. And you might make a decision without any intent to do anything wrong that could lead you down to the worst road of your life with a violent ending. But if you just would have stopped and thought about it and prayed about it and looked at it through the mind of Christ, it would have never happened. This is why we need to be so careful. This is why it says in the Bible that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. Because it's a war for your mind, your body, your soul, and it's a war between heaven and hell. One of two ways. Hell, the gate is very wide and broad. To heaven, it's very short and narrow. Few find it. We can see which way most are going. That's why it's most important to get you and your family and those closest to you and like-minded to be as grounded as possible, spiritually and mentally. Because if we keep expecting and looking for doom, you know, people say you create your own reality by your thoughts. To a degree, I believe that's true. To a degree. But we have to be grateful for the times where things are seemingly not so chaotic. But will we see times like that anymore? It seems like these terrorist attacks have been increasing and increasing from Brussels to before that to San Bernardino. I mean, these things continue as the mass shootings have. They've grown larger in scale, larger in body count, larger, you know, with the alleged type of weapons, larger with the targets. And it's like a roller coaster effect. Everybody's just waiting to see for the other shoe to drop. What's next? And the next tragedy could put us over the edge to the point where we have martial law, to where we have no elections. And the fate of this country is based on each and every one of us. Not on Black Lives Matter, not on the Obama administration or the powers of darkness that rule that administration behind the scenes. We can all change that if we decide to a degree. We haven't decided what we're going to do yet. We can feed into this, or we can turn it into an opportunity to reach out and try to spread the good news and to let people know that they have options.
Oh, very well said. Yeah. And I think we have to put everything in perspective. And,
I mean, they're throwing everything at us.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, they're bringing diseased immigrants over here on your tax dollars, telling you to live next door to them, even though they got tuberculosis and Zika. And
I'm not so sure there we don't have it here.
That's is no more constitution in the sense that the laws only apply. And when I say laws in the Constitution were set up to restrict government, not people.
Yep.
But that's been reversed. Don't expect the Constitution to help you out in the future of what's coming. Don't expect to have rights. All that's going out the window. What they're doing is creating order out of chaos, peace out of turmoil. And the chaos comes first before the peace. And that's what we're seeing. The question is, how bad does the chaos have to get before we accept the false peace and security that they try to give us? And according to the scripture, if it were possible, it would deceive even the very elect. So there's your answer.
Interesting. Very well said.
Looking at these horrible pictures of this.
Yeah.
75 plus dead. Tactical jihadist suggested as a suspect for years ended up carrying out the attack. ISIS celebrating. So keep those people in your prayers and the people all over the world. Most people are just like us. You go to work, you do your job, you provide for your family. Those are your concerns. Your relationship with the Lord, your family, and keeping a roof over your head and food on your table. Now we have to worry about if we go to the store to get milk, do we need to carry a gun with us? Is it safe to go into this neighborhood? The unrest that's being fomented will continue as long as communities are not actual communities. As long as these cities and areas and neighborhoods are not, do not come together and become communities, this will continue. And all the while this domestic and international terrorism goes on, things continue to be pushed under the rug while these headlines are all over the front page of all publications. Certain things like what you're reading about the South China Seas and executive orders Obama's putting out and the Hillary Clinton email scandal. Many people don't know that she's looking at possible perjury, which we know she will not be found guilty for.
Well, she was never placed under oath.
Well, do you know that they FBI agent signed a non-disclosure agreement for matters involving Hillary Clinton's emails,
yep.
And they do not want to release information that was taken from a deposition. And I'll find this here in a second. But yesterday I read this. Clinton legal team moves to block deposition and email laws because she knows she lied. And if you get caught lying in a deposition, it's the same as perjury, is it not?
Well, in a deposition, if you give a deposition, you're under oath. If you're interviewed by a federal agent, you'd be lying to a federal agent. It's not perjury, but
it's obstruction of justice.
It's lying to a federal agent, it's own charge.
And the New York Post says that the non-disclosure agreements, they say it's an unusual move for FBI agents working with Hillary Clinton case, had to sign a special form reminding them not to blab about the probe to anyone else unless called to testify. Sources say that the FBI, that they've never heard of the case briefing acknowledgement ever being used before, although all agents must initially sign NDAs to obtain security clearances. This is very, very unusual. I've never signed one, never circulated one to others, said one retired FBI chief. An FBI agent currently on the job admitted, I have never heard of such a form. It sounds strange. Meanwhile, FBI expresses their disappointment over their director, James Comey's, decision not to recommend charges for or against Hillary Clinton. That from sources who told the Post.
How many people out there, Joe, do you think are sick and tired of the Clinton criminal cabal? How many times can you hear about the email scandal? How many times can you hear about the Clinton Foundation? How many times can you hear about the misdeeds of Bill Clinton? How many times can you hear about Benghazi and then have her supporters say, this is all political?
What difference does it make?
Well, you know, having her supporters come.
Yeah.
Say, 71%
of Democratic voters who were polled were asked if she was indicted, should she continue to run for president, said yes. 71%. Didn't matter she was a criminal. Didn't matter she lied. Didn't matter all the other possible charges she could have been charged with, from Benghazi to the email scandal. They didn't care. If she was charged, they would have still voted for her. 71%. Well, even Stephen Colbert of one of the late shows took her to task last night. And there's a funny clip I'll show you during the break.
All right.
But basically he just called her a flat-out liar and said, ended with something along the lines of, you know, how you, here's how you lie, Hillary Clinton. And then he said, I support Hillary Clinton. But, I mean, it's getting to the point of ridiculousness.
When you have somebody like him, yeah.
But think of people who don't pay attention to the news. They see in their doctor's office or on their way to work, they hear a mention of this, a mention of that. They see it on their local news for a minute or two. Oh, Clinton cleared by the FBI. Not knowing the level of deceit that was on public display because they don't research or pay attention or look into these things themselves. Don't think anything of it because they don't have all the facts. This is the shaping public perception that we talked about at the beginning of the show.
Well,
the information is presented in a way that if you don't do the digging yourself, you're going to get a skewed view of what the facts and truth are. And that's a big problem.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. And as we talk about history, interestingly enough, thank you, JKG. You know, we had talked about MLK, Martin Luther King. We had talked about Malcolm X. We had talked about the days of rage back in the 60s. My term, not theirs. Emailer writes, my recollections of Martin Luther King days are different than yours. Every time King had a rally, the riots would start after he left town, not before or during. He was safely out of the way when everything went down. It was if it was all staged. Now, the way when we look at historical events, whether Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, we look at Nation of Islam, we look at all the things that have gone on over all of the years, and this is what I've been pushing for all week, is the plans of the elite are the same, the tactics, the people have changed. Thank you for that email, by the way. And yeah, I can't read emails and do this at the same time. So, the days of rage, the reason I asked you about that earlier, I find it enlightening that Snopes, for example, has claimed that it's a hoax and it's a regrowth from the 2014. From 2014, it's something, you know, something that we saw before. Yet, I'm looking at headlines where the army is being advised to stay away from the 37 cities. If this is a hoax, then, or if this is not based on solid intelligence at that level, all about?
You know how it goes. We have no specific threat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But stay out of these 37 cities. I mean, come on. They obviously have information they're not disclosing to the public, and their excuse for keeping public order and not creating panic, but we all know that that's not always the case. Do the citizens have the right to know when there's a threat posed to them?
Sure. I mean,
when there becomes a time where you know that the threat cannot be stopped, absolutely, they deserve to know.
I'm in favor of truth 24/7, right?
Well, yeah, but you don't want to create a panic if you don't have to.
Well, I think there's, and I agree with you. For example, if there are certain cases, instances where judgment takes on a little bit of a different meaning here. For example, if releasing news would cause or would have the potential to cause more deaths than if you kept that news quiet for a little bit of time, I can understand that rationale.
Right.
But it all depends on the circumstances. But I do believe 99.9% of the time, I think that we should be told what the true story is.
Oh, yes. And right. I bet 99.9% of the time we're never told what the truth of something is.
Yeah, I, you know, the Gateway Pundit, Joe, and I, this is something that, that just, I've heard this throughout the day from my sources. The Cleveland police, according to the Gateway Pundit, we're given stand down orders at the RNC. Protesters wreak havoc on Republicans and the city. Okay.
Okay.
And I find that very disturbing. If that's true, have you? What's your take on this?
Well, I know that in the wake of the Dallas officer shootings,
right,
there was a release to police officers in Cleveland and to the public that police would not be assembled in riot gear. That they actually were going to be on more horses, more bikes, more mobile.
That's true.
No body armor, no heavy machinery, no, you know, they're not going to be out there with riot shields and machine guns. Which I questioned at first because of the violence and that has been happening all over the country with police officers recently. Cleveland obviously going to be the number one hotspot for this type of, from anywhere from a protest to a violent altercation with police is the most likely place will happen in the next week or two is Cleveland. They got a $30 to $50 million grant from the Department of Homeland Security for riot control gear and other,
which I believe they will have there. I just don't think it's going to be on the front lines. I don't think they're going to
right,
play it first.
Right. Right.
And that's the same for the protection of the police, though.
At the same time, based on the information and intelligence that they have, I mean, you don't send officers into harm's way when you have intelligence saying that there's, you know, something waiting around the corner for them. You don't say, you know.
So, but though, Joe, if they see a group of protesters whooping on, we'll say, a Trump supporter, or it doesn't matter the circumstances, and they don't get involved, well, then they're not in harm's way, right? So,
yeah.
I mean, you can look at this a couple of different ways, but yeah. But I do think that I do think that when it's all said and done, Cleveland is going to face some. It's my view that things will happen in Cleveland, and the convention goers are going to be harassed, and I don't think we're going to have much to stop it. There's not going to be much to stop it. Harassed, beaten,
yeah,
and I well, think we've seen that. Chaos.
Yeah, we've seen that already. So, if we can switch gears here,
go for it. You're
one
in charge.
Story I wanted to talk about that we've talked about in the not too just recently, the girl who was raped in Idaho.
Yes.
There's a story that came out yesterday. Mother of Idaho girl raped by refugees. Authorities withholding police report from family. The mother of a 5-year-old girl who endured a vicious sex assault at the hands of Iraqi and Sudanese refugees in June said she feels her family is being treated like criminals by local authorities and the media.
Now, this is kind of an older story. I mean,
yeah,
this has been around for a while, this particular aspect of it. Go on.
Well, the article goes on to explain how the attack took place and the three perpetrators and what they did to this young woman. And it goes on to say, but no one will allow the family to read the police report on her own daughter's or her own daughter's medical reports. The family said, as victims, it just makes us feel like they are treating us like we are the criminals. I called the victim's advocate a few times to get the records, and she said, I told you several times now, you can have nothing. And she's like, why do you want this stuff? And I tell her, because it's my daughter, and I want to know I have the right under the Constitution. Even criminals who are standing trial for whatever the crime is, where there are witnesses against this criminal who are going to testify against them, they are under law allowed to have the names of those witnesses. Now that's far more invasive than giving somebody, a family who's been a victim of a violent crime, their own medical records and police reports. This is almost unheard of. Treating the family as criminals, criminal nuisances, because they want the information about their daughter who was attacked at the hands of three immigrant children who still live and play on the same block as where she was attacked and are still free to run around and are currently running around playing in the neighborhood while the child who was the victim is isolated.
Just to be clear, this is a five-year-old girl
who is abused in ways we can't even describe on this radio show.
14, 10, 7. The families have been told, you spread any misinformation. This is going back now.
They're being threatened.
Yeah, you're going to, you can face the full, you can be arrested. Now, and although this is not new, it may be new to some. The mom, the parents of this little girl, not allowed to have the records, the police records.
And the police are working to try to keep things quiet.
Right. But and how many more of these are going around?
An Obama administration official threatened local residents discussing the rape of the Third World Refugee Resettlement with federal prosecution for discussing the case.
Right.
Not once, but twice. So the Obama administration has stepped in, giving orders to an official who has given orders to the local police department where this girl was raped, threatening with federal prosecution those people who discuss the rape.
Right.
I mean, do we really have to explain it any further? I mean, it's like being you were robbed at gunpoint. The police caught the perpetrators who did it. They were your next door neighbors. Now they're still living next door to you. Say you feel unsafe. You try to go somewhere. You're outside and they, you know, make remarks. You know, they're going to do it again or they're intimidating you. And this Muslim family was threatened. They were evicted, but they won't leave.
Right. And that's as of 3 days ago, I believe.
Now, you call the cops back and say, the person who, you know, burglarized us, robbed us, put a gun to our head, took our stuff, is taunting us next door, and you're told you're the problem. You're told you could be prosecuted for talking about it. You're turning a victim into a victim all over again. Meanwhile, the kids, as I said earlier, are still running around in the neighborhood after being after their family was giving an eviction notice. The son is still free to roam around the neighborhood.
What blew my mind, Joe, about this though is that
the people are more worried about the public perception and political correctness than they are about the victim and her rights,
right,
and the family's rights.
But explain to me how. With everything we know, the cell phone, there was at least a partial cell phone video, not necessarily of the attack, but, well, I'm not going to get into the details of this, but you've got authorities, police, prosecutors coming out, or at least a small number, saying that the account has been embellished.
Yeah.
Because of anti-refugee settlements.
Yeah, yeah.
Sentiments, I'm sorry.
It's just disgusting. It's the political correctness. It's like when Obama says, we are not a divided nation, or I am your best hope. Race relations are so much better under my administration.
I'm from the government. I'm here to help you. Run!
I mean, at the memorial for the Dallas police officers, Obama says, we are not as divided as we seem. It's like a slap in the face. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on this Thursday edition. When we come back, we're going to hit more news in hour number 3, go over some emails, maybe take some calls. We haven't decided that yet. But when we come back, more on what's happening, international terrorism, ongoing, Bernie Sanders endorsing Hillary, Venezuela food crisis, and more.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.